And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the Interoperability Standards Work Group. My name is Mike Ferry. I'm with ONC, and we are always glad that you can be with us for this work group meeting. As a reminder, your feedback is welcome, which could be typed in the chat feature throughout the meeting, or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:55 Eastern Time this morning. So I'm going to begin roll call of our work group members. So when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Good morning. Arian Malik.
Good morning.
Kelly Aldrich. Hans Butendeck. Thomas Cantalina or Jeff Ford. Christina Caraballa.
Good morning.
Grace Cordovano.
Good morning.
Stephen Eichner.
Good morning.
Sanjeev Tandon.
Good morning.
Raj Gopharti. Tim Jurgis. Ken Kamoto. John Kilbourne.
Good morning.
Leslie Leonard. Hong Wu.
Good morning.
David McCauley.
Good morning.
John McDonald. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Michelle Schreiber. Abby Sears.
Good morning.
And I believe Ram Shram is out today. Is John Gargullo here? Okay, I think that's everybody. So thank you, everyone. And now please join me in welcoming Stephen and Arian for their opening remarks.
As always, thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Hans, I see you've joined in the chat. Thank you so much. Really great to have folks here to drive forward on our recommendations. We're really in the home stretch now, pushing ahead toward the final presentation to the high tech, which we're going to be doing next month. So a number of folks have worked hard to pull together their recommendations for our consideration and hopefully finalization today, and we're just going to keep on that over the next couple of weeks as we try to get through and craft recommendations for all the high priority topics that we've discussed. We do have Andrew Hayden, a member of the ONC team, who's particularly involved in the maintenance of the ISA, who's put together a brief presentation for us today, just to provide more in the way of background. We thought that would be helpful for the group. And then we'll dive right into a number of recommendations, hopefully hearing from Mark, Grace, perhaps Christina. I put together the ECR recommendations, and we will get through as many as we can. Arian, do you want to add to that?
No, it is crunch time. Really appreciate all the work of the work group members to get in with the spreadsheets and follow the guidelines of starting with, we recommend that ONC do blah. We have just a short amount of time before we've got to finalize and lock down these recommendations into draft letter form for next month's high tech. This month, tomorrow, we're going to be giving sort of an interim report, but just a reminder that this really is crunch time, and really appreciate everyone's diligence in working through it. So with that, let's jump into it.
Well, I'll just add one more thing, and that is we have a number of members of the public who've joined us this morning. I just want to remind all members of the public that you're welcome to participate in the chat using the Zoom tools, and that we will break for public comment at 11:55 Eastern for anybody who wants to provide commentary verbally. If you are thinking of providing verbal commentary, feel free to raise your hand at whatever point you like during the course of the meeting, and we'll just kind of queue you up in the attendees if we have a number of folks who are looking to provide verbal public commentary. We might even cut to that sooner. So with that, Andrew, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loudly and clearly, and thank you so much for putting together this presentation.
Certainly. Thank you, Dr. Lane. My name is Andrew Hayden, and I'm the Standards Advisory Lead with ONC. I'm pleased to be presenting today to the work group and members of the public on the historical and structural evolution of the ISA. Next slide, please. Here's what I'll cover today. By way of review, I'll start by providing an overview of the ICES purpose and principal stakeholders. Next, I'll walk through the ICES historical and structural evolution, and we'll conclude with an overview of its current structure. I'll then turn things back over to Dr. Lane to initiate a brief question and answer session. Next slide, please. These next few slides provide a brief overview of the ISA. The current slide provides a definition. The ISA is a single public list of the standards and implementation specifications that can best be used to address specific interoperability needs reflective of ongoing dialogue, debate, and consensus among industry stakeholders. It also serves as an informational resource and is non-binding. Next slide, please. This slide illustrates how key stakeholders use the ISA. For stakeholders who administer government and non-governmental procurements, testing, certification, or grant programs, the ISA is a resource to meet their interoperability needs. For developers of health IT, the ISA is a resource of available and appropriate standards and implementation specifications to support their interoperability efforts. For implementers and users of health IT products, the ISA is a resource that can ensure purchase products include standards that support specific interoperability needs. Next slide, please. Now I'll offer a few words on the ISA process. The web-based version of the ISA is updated frequently throughout the year as comments from stakeholders come in or as changes occur, with a call for review and comments in late summer. ONC publishes a static reference edition of the ISA each December or January. Next slide, please. I know this is a busy slide. I'll only touch on a few key takeaways, but essentially the slide depicts the historical and structural evolution of the ISA from its inception in 2015 to the present. The ISA has its roots in the 10-year vision paper to achieve an interoperability health IT infrastructure that ONC published in 2014. It also has its roots in the shared nationwide interoperability roadmap version 1.0 draft, hereinafter known as the draft interoperability roadmap, published in January 2015, and the final interoperability roadmap published in October 2015. The 10-year vision paper stated that ONC will continue to work with industry stakeholders and federal and state governments to advance core technical standards for terminology and vocabulary, content and format, transport and security. The draft interoperability roadmap incorporated an open 16-page draft of the first interoperability standards advisory, with then national coordinator Dr. Karen DeSalvo stating in a letter that accompanied the draft roadmap that the advisory is an initial version of a quote, best available standards and implementation specifications list for interoperability of clinical health information that enables priority learning health system functions, end quote. And that development of this list is identified as a critical action in the roadmap that ONC has committed to. In the final version of the roadmap published in October 2015, ONC committed to annually publish and update a list of the best available standards and implementation specifications for health IT interoperability purposes and to support priority learning health system functions through an open and transparent process. In response to extensive public comment on the two draft ISAs in 2015, the 2016 ISA final version began to look like today's more modern ISA, adding six best available standards and implementation specification characteristics, as well as interoperability needs and limitations and value sets subsections. For its part, the 2017 ISA added an interactive web version, while the 2019 web version saw the first edition of specialty care and settings tags for opioids and pediatrics. The 2020 ISA saw four new social determinants of health interoperability needs added, while the 2021 ISA added a COVID-19 subsection and a COVID-19 specialty care and settings tag in response to the pandemic. The 2022 web ISA added the social determinants of health specialty care and setting tag in March 2021, while the most recent 2022 reference edition of the ISA, its 269 pages, contained 180 interoperability needs and highlighted additional representation of social determinants of health and COVID-19. Next slide, please. The current structure of the ISA, as depicted on this slide, includes four major sections, four informational appendices, and four specialty care and settings tags. Next slide, please. This slide depicts an ISA sample interoperability need, allows a prescriber to send a new prescription to a pharmacy. Here you can see the 6 best available standards and implementation specification characteristics originating from the 2016 ISA. Standards process maturity, implementation maturity, adoption level, federally required, cost, and test tool availability. Also depicted are the limitations, dependencies, and preconditions for consideration attached to this particular interoperability need. Next slide, please. This slide shows how to access the ISA's 4 specialty care and settings tags in the ISA web version. Hovering over the ISA content menu item in the web version, will display the 4 tags. This functionality is currently being improved for ease of access. As referenced earlier, the first 2 specialty care and settings tags around opioids and pediatrics were added to the ISA in 2019, mainly in response to 21st Century Cures Act requirements, but also to make it generally easier to find groups of interoperability needs supporting these specialty care areas. Next slide, please. This slide depicts the social determinants of health specialty care and settings tag added to the ISA in March 2021. Next slide, please. And this slide depicts the catalog of ISA reference edition PDFs that can be readily accessed from the publications tab of the ISA web version main menu. The 2023 reference edition will be the 9th annual edition of the ISA. Next slide, please. The recent ISA updates page in the ISA web version is a catalog of changes to ISA sections, subsections, and interoperability needs dating back to 2017. Next slide, please. This slide documents where we are in the comment process and how to create an account and submit comments. Comments are now open for the ISA web version. An annual review and comment period will open later this summer. An account must be created at the ISA web version main page to submit a comment. Also, by clicking on the ISA's RSS feed icon, users can pull up a feed they can plug into any RSS feed reader, allowing them to receive ISA updates in real time. This concludes my presentation on the historical and structural evolution of the ISA. Dr. Lane, now back to you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that, Andrew, and the work you put into pulling that together. I think it's really helpful for our work group to understand, you know, the ISA and the USCDI, which are the 2 areas that we've been tasked to provide input and recommendations, are really different. You know, they just have a different history. They play a different role. And clearly they're related to one another. And in fact, we are going to craft some recommendations to make that relationship much clearer. David McCallie, you made a comment in the chat about the lack of a use case section. And I think that's something that we've highlighted, and I think we're going to probably prepare recommendations around that. Clem, welcome, as well as everybody else who made it on, Kelly, after the roll call. Anybody with any questions?
Even I'd note that the USCDI is actually structurally under the ISA. If you look at the overall organization of the ONC webpage. So I don't actually think that we're doing anything new or different by recommending that there be closer ties between the standards listing section of the ISA and the USCDI listing section of the ISA. Little known fact.
Kelly, your hands up.
Yeah, hi, thanks everyone. Andrew, thank you for this overview. Very interesting. I had a quick question, if you don't mind, or if you can just direct me to the resource. How do you determine the adoption rating?
That's the adoption rating is something that our SMEs that process the comments that come in collectively will determine. And we'll do our own research and you know we'll look into kind of the IGs, let's say, and their specific status or balloting status with a specific SDO. But normally we conduct our own research, and if there are questions about that type of status, we will convene and talk it through.
Okay, thanks. It might be helpful for people to understand that, because, you know, in our data-driven world, you know, people are very interested in the saturation rate as well as the uptake. So thank you, Andrew, for that answer.
Absolutely. Thanks for the question.
Hans?
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew, for the update. Question that I have, and it's a clarification question. Over the last number of years, there has been initially part of the terminology of best available standards, and you mentioned that reference in your update as well, but in the actual text that was at one point in time removed. So just as a clarification, the intent of the ISA is not necessarily that it judges or indicates which one is the best for a particular use case, but what's available for that particular use case. Is that a correct understanding? Because the one might suggesting differently based on what that is.
That's my understanding as well, Hans, and that there was an evolution to sort of steer away from attaching a value judgment to standards. But yes, there. Initially, I think it was created the list was created to point out best available standards. But then over time, we dropped that.
Yeah, this is Chris Muir. I just want to add a little bit to that. But you're right, Andrew. But just to add a little bit more information. So, you're both correct. We were contemplating and trying to determine what the best available standards were. But over time, we also determined that it might be more helpful just to list the standards that are available and then put those other helpful attributes like adoption levels, like where it is in life cycle with the SDO and all those kinds of things. And then let individuals or entities decide on their own which standards that they want to use from among them. We thought that was a much better approach. But anyway, that was kind of the history and how we came out of that.
Thank you.
Arian?
Yeah, I just wanted to point the work group out to the some of the historical information on standards maturity. Back in the day, Dixie Baker led the Newhin power team. David and myself actively participated in that team, and we published, or Dixie published, a white paper on standards maturity. So if you want to go back and look at least a rubric or heuristic for standards maturity, I published that out to the chat. Brett also pointed out in the FAQ section that ONC has listed out the general framework for adoption level and maturity level. As noted, I think that Newhin Power Team Dixie Baker paper really does a nice job of outlining a framework for thinking about standards maturity and standards readiness.
Excellent. Thank you. We have another hand up from Mark.
Thanks. This is a different version of sort of the best available question. Does something have to meet a minimum level of requirements in order to get listed, or does anything go?
Again, this is something that we usually I have consultations over, we being the SME team that reviews the standards and implementations that come in via comment. It's typically a case-by-case basis. It's not a kind of necessarily universal blanket acceptance. We do review the different IGs and standards that come in. If something is we consider out of scope of the current ISA, then it may not make it into the ISA. But that's not 100% blanket acceptance. But I defer to Chris or and or Brett, if they want to embellish further on that response.
Yeah, I mean, we try to err on the side of being inclusive, but like Brett says, as Andrew said, we sometimes get things that we just feel like aren't really directly healthcare related or health related, and so we don't always publish those, but usually, in most cases, if it's a legitimate standard and if it fits within health and healthcare, we will include it.
Thank you. Aaron, did you have another comment or was your hand just stuck up there?
No, a legacy hand.
No worries. I think we lost Christina temporarily. I don't know if she's on audio, but Hans, you made a good comment regarding some structural adjustments that could be made in the ISA to make it clearer how the maturity and adoption source information relates to each of those items. There are actually going to be a series of recommendations around the structure of the ISA, where I think various workgroup members have seen opportunities to improve that. And Christina has thankfully taken on the responsibility of trying to organize those into a set of crisp recommendations for our consideration. So we'll see if we get to some of those today or not. But we're going to try to certainly get to them before we're done.
And Hans, as I noted in the chat, I think your help in drafting recommendations to improve the structure of the ISA is definitely welcome.
Should I put that under or above the row that says no further additions without?
you're welcome to draft it in a fresh row, but I would encourage you to collaborate with Christina to try to pull that together into a group.
I'll make a first draft and then I'll ping Christine.
Marvelous.
I had a quick question about the extra role business. This is John.
Yes, John.
Sorry to raise my hand. I wasn't sure how to interpret that because over the weekend I was going to put some content there, and it looked like each role corresponded to a person. And so if I wanted to say something, I would have had to add an extra role, but it very clearly says don't add an extra row.
Yeah, no, actually the rows don't, the rows are sort of, they were initiated by individuals, but a number of people have chimed in and added content within each row. You can see if you look that there are multiple names in the rows of people chiming in. So the idea was just, we didn't want to introduce new topics.
Okay, thank you.
So I think again, if
you're- I misunderstood then.
Okay. Yeah, feel free.
Editorially, people are putting their names in brackets in entries.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Ike. And everybody feel free to use the hand raise feature. It'll help us to bring you forward. Any other questions for Andrew at this point? Great. One other thing, if we Excel, if you guys can pull up the topics worksheet that we've just been referring to and display that, I hope you can get it into one screen. I've tried to work with the
Hey, Stephen.
Yes.
David asked Chris a question in the chat, or maybe made a comment, but I would like for him to kind of further expound on what he said there. It'd be helpful to me to understand what he's referencing.
You're talking about the interoperability need, antedating a standard.
Yeah. Can you say just a little bit more about that so I understand?
Yeah. The notion is that there may be, I like the phrase use case, just out of habit, that is recognized as a new need that does not yet have a standard, may not have an implementation guide in existence. And it seems to me that it's worth tracking the important use cases for as much of reason to be a clue to some of the standards bodies as to where work is needed as it is to wait until they do something and then say, well, it looks like they were addressing this need. It seems like we should be driven by the needs, not driven by the emergence of standards.
Yeah, no, that's a good comment. Thank you. That's helpful.
A good example of that is price transparency and patient right to correction, where there are accelerators to address both standards for both price transparency and patient right to correction under HIPAA. but not yet, you know, not yet recognized standards or IGs associated with that. And so, you know, some of the areas of our commentary is to recommend that the ISA add additional use cases or interoperability needs, and then reference the work going on in the accelerators in advance of having, you know, a published standard.
Or there may be, this is David again, there may be inside of a broad use case or interoperability need, like say consumer access to their record via APIs, a subdomain like access to full quality digital images for which there isn't a clear implementation guide, but you could list that use case as a need that needs to be developed. So it might be a subset inside a broader interoperability need.
And right on cue, here is Mark Savage's, here's item number one on care plans and chronic disease management, where we're looking at just such a recommendation.
So actually, before we jump into Mark's recommendation number one, I want to point out that the spreadsheet now has a new column I, called ONC Priority. And one of the things that ONC did for us between the last meeting and this one is to point out those items that for which they're particularly interested in receiving recommendations. So you'll note if you scroll down, there are quite a number of items here that ONC has categorized as their priority. So we certainly want to be sure to give them recommendations in those areas if we're prepared to. And then in the column next to that, to the left, column H is the current workgroup priority based on our rankings spreadsheet. I will point out that a number of folks, including some of you on the phone today, have not bothered to put your rankings in the rankings spreadsheet. And if you have a chance to do that, you would be more than welcome to contribute to how we're thinking about this. The rankings have been pretty static over the past week. But I'm watching that. If somebody wants to go in and prioritize items, it might help us just to organize our thinking over the next few days or a few weeks, I should say, because we may well not get to every recommendation given the time available. But what we do want to do is jump in, and I think starting with those items that are both high priority for the work group and high priority for ONC, and try to finalize, really nail down our recommendations, knowing as we do that it's easy to go down rabbit holes, and what we really want is to come up with recommendations with which we can all live. So my hope, unless you feel otherwise, Arian, would be to go to item number six, which is also Mark's, one that Mark started, having to do with the SDOH standards related to the gravity recommendations that we heard. This has been identified as high priority by our work group as well as by ONC. And Mark has worked hard to prepare some crisp recommendations for this. And I think if we can go through those and come to some agreement, that would be really wonderful.
No objections. I think part of the role of the work group is to identify priorities independent of ONC, but it is useful to look at areas where we both think something is a high priority.
All right, Mark, I've given you the entire screen.
Thank you. Well, I will try to shorten it. This is on the SDOH gravity standards. The recommendation in column F tracks what we heard from Evelyn and Asha in the presentation, keeps it at a high level, sort of the succinct recommendations that were in the slides. You'll recall that we found that much of what the Gravity Project has added and what ONC has added into USCDI version 2 was not listed out in ISA. And so that's what we're, in short, that's what we're recommending, to add the vocabulary and the value sets, add the implementation guide, add the reference implementation. And that's a little more detail under A and B on that recommendation in front of you, just to list the categories to provide some guidance for ONC to make sure that those things get added. Then a separate recommendation, sort of tracking what we've all been talking about on these calls, our charge is to be looking at the priority uses and use cases that HITECH has selected, but we didn't really find a place there. So a recommendation that we change the specialty care and settings to be priority use cases. Social determinants of health, which is listed there, is not really a specialty care or a specialty setting. It's the 80 to 90% of health status. So it's a big picture use case. And the recommendation is to list under those priority use cases, which would collect the various things that we've been talking about, one for achieving health equity. And that's where the social determinants of health work would go. Again, linking to what you see above, but it's a way to collect the different standards together in one place for the public, for the stakeholders who are looking for how to put some of these terminology and exchange and administrative standards together for better use. I'll stop there and leave it to questions if there's any detail that's needed.
Hey, Mark, as I'm going over the first, so I agree with both of these recommendations. As I'm going over the first set of recommendations, I wonder whether some of the work that we did in the USCDI section to point out value sets for assessments might be good content for the ISA vocabulary code set and terminology section. I don't know that we have an area in the ISA where we point out common value subsets under an overall vocabulary standard.
That makes sense, Darian, to me. This is not meant to be exclusive. This is just meant to be a recommendation about including what the Gravity Project has done. Other things may fit as well. And this doesn't preclude those additions that we were talking about in phase one.
Yeah, no, understood. It occurred to me that we don't actually have a place. We don't have a structural place to put those recommended value sets.
David, your hand is up.
Yes. First, I like Mark's suggestions, and I see them as a step in the right direction, but I'm going to suggest maybe they don't go far enough and perhaps wander into too pedantic an understanding of how to organize something as long-running as the ISA, which is to say that what's a priority this year won't be a priority in 2 years. There'll be a new priority. And I don't think necessarily categorizing the actual use case or interoperability need under the notion of priority makes long-term sense. I would suggest an interoperability need is a need is a need, and what is a priority is a cross-reference to that, and that those priorities change as priorities change. I hope that our priorities in 2025 are different than the ones they were in 2015. So I don't have good alternative language to suggest, but decouple the notion of what's a current priority from what's an interoperability need.
That makes a lot of sense. So Mark has presented some specific recommendations and has highlighted some potential policy levers that could be utilized to meet those. In the past, in our recommendations to the HITECH, we have identified specific policy levers as a supplement to the recommendations themselves. So the idea is that all of this content would end up being included in our recommendation to the HITECH. So Hans, your hand is up.
Now, I would like to support David's comment with a plus one, looking at finally found it in a different spot, specialty care and settings. They have appropriate context otherwise, but indeed, how can I get across everything? What is really of most importance in this year? So fully support that approach.
So yeah, drafting that into a recommendation will be helpful. Just getting some language on that. Okay, so what I'd like to do is see if we can move. Oh, we got more hands. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, well, Grace had a recommendation about just the name of prior to use case. I assume that's what she was raising her hand about.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand where the assumption came that it had to be a current priority. It, not necessarily what's priority now versus 5 years or 10 years from now, but identifying important use cases that will continue to play a key role. And if they're addressed, then they can be removed from the list. But I highly doubt that anything that is pertinent work would be removed and taken off the reference list. So I recommend moving simply to use cases.
Yeah, Grace, to be clear, I was certainly not suggesting that something ever leaves the ISA, but its status as the priority or a current priority might change. So the use case continues, the priority might fluctuate. I mean, way back when we started all this stuff, the top hot priority was e-prescribing. We don't talk about that a lot anymore because it kind of works, but it's still an interoperability need and there's still standards and we still track it.
Precisely. Ike?
Yes, two things. One, I agree with the priority component. Secondly, I think looking at the policy levers, one other component that ties in are conditions of participation. We noticed looking at the proposed IPPS rule for 2023 that there are several references to including things as COPs that shift not only from the technical requirement, but to the environment for actually using them on a functional basis.
So in the chat, we're seeing some people say that perhaps priority doesn't belong in the ISA at all, that perhaps we should be focusing on use cases exclusively. Does anyone want to make a comment about that?
Now, since David again, since I brought it up, I forego the hand raising thing. I think cross-referencing, you know, that's what we're good at cross-referencing. So identifying something that is a current priority of the current administration or currently as rated by high tech, et cetera, is perfectly valuable to have somewhere for public availability. It's just an orthogonal axis to the interoperability need itself. And so we're just saying separate the concerns.
John Kilbourn?
I think I'm agreeing with what was just said, that we need to have some, I believe we should have some kind of ranking or this one is more important than that one. And that's an important thing to say. And maybe that'll change over time and what was important before isn't as important now. But it is a sort of a perpendicular, orthogonal kind of a thing to talk about the priority or the ranking. But I don't know that just not having any kind of indication that this one really seems to matter and this other one, well, not so much right now. I think it would be helpful to indicate what matters more and what matters less to our best of our ability.
Hans?
I think, well, we need a new name. And I was like, what about something like assessments or something? We need something broader, but we don't need to be limiting. Specialty sounds like specialists, But we got to get a new name or otherwise we're going to float around this for days.
Yeah. I'd comment that right now we're bike shedding. We could probably spend the rest of the work group discussing the right name. So we can sleep on it. We can think about this and come back next week with some proposals for a name, or we can kick this to ONC. You know, our recommendation is that there be a view of the ISA that is organized by interoperability need or specialty. Our comment is that specialty care and setting doesn't capture that reorientation. and we can recommend that ONC come up with a new name, or as I said, we can sleep on it, think about this over the week, and then come back next week refreshed with some suggestions for new names. Either way, I think it's probably not the priority for us to debate the right name at this point.
Perhaps one comment along those lines is that, as I currently understand, specialty care and settings are views of the other parts of the ISA. And those views have an interest, which is not the same as priority, where you could either within those views or other parts of the ISA identify what's more or less important for a particular purpose. But the way I understand specialty care and settings is it's not meant to be a priority, rather than all the things in the rest of the ISA that could make up, quote unquote, that area. So view I do like, and I would, but the main thing is that whatever the name is, we should not mix the need for a view for a particular higher level topic versus the priority of use cases for a particular purpose.
Steve, do you have something to add to this? I think we beat this one pretty much down.
I was going to add that we may not want to use the word priority, or if we're thinking about priority, the companion piece is who's establishing what that priority list looks like, because there are a bunch of different interest groups, all of which may have competing priority lists, and what becomes critical to a system as a whole really can vary quite rapidly, where there was always been an interest in public health exchange, looking at COVID-19 as an example, suddenly drove significant interest, significant drive in making an awful lot happen very quickly. And that's great and wonderful. We don't necessarily want to lose the experience of what we've developed and have it get deprioritized and put down somewhere in the mid-level until we have another crisis. So I think we need to be careful about using the word priority without attaching who's setting or who's defining what that priority is.
Okay, so I'd like to bring this discussion to a close. We've taken out that word priority from Mark's recommendation, and I'd like to see if we can come to a final conclusion on this one, turn it purple and move on. Any objection? Terrific. I like turning things purple. That seems to be our color of completion. So we will do that. Thank you, Mark, for bringing those forward. Really, really appreciate that, that work that you've done.
And thank you to Evelyn and Asha for the presentation.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Following our rubric, if you will, David, thank you for that, of trying to hit the ones that are both high priority to us and high priority to the ONC. Christina, I don't know if you responded to my text. You did. You started. Okay. Christina has her name on a number of items related to the structure that are both high workgroup priority and high ONC priority. Christina, did you want to walk us through those at this point, or would you rather wait until next week?
Yeah, I can start I can get started on it. So basically,
we'll go to number 18 then, is that right?
Yeah, 18, 19, and 20. Mm-hmm. And just a little orientation. My first step in this was to combine per Stephen and Arian's requests, recommendations, these 18, 19, and 20 with 28, 29, 30, and 12. I've added combined so far items 19, 28, and 29 into 20. So we can probably delete the other ones, but I didn't yet. I think these are pretty ready for review. What it doesn't include so far for ISA optimization is some of the input that Grace had in item 12, which I will revisit, and then the specialty settings recommendation that Arian had in 30. Other than that, I think this captures most of the structure recommendations that we've put forward so far. So our overarching revised recommendation would be to include the most current published and emerging standards with references to associated implementation guides, profiles, et cetera.
I'm sorry, which one are you reading from, Christina? Which item?
Going to 20 right now.
20. Okay, good.
And so the intent, Christina, I've lost the group or the group's lost me.
No, we can hear you.
I can back up a little bit. Sorry, I was just in the middle of putting these together before our call and just probably dove right in. So if I need to back up and orient a little bit.
Christina, I think the intent is that 20 subsumes right now 18 and 19.
Yes, and there's a note in there to hopefully, so people can reference it. It combines items 19, 28 and 29 for reference. So item 20 is a combination of the three. So it includes the federally required and some of the optimization that Arian and Hans had put together.
Okay, so do you want to walk us through those so we can take them one at a time, those recommendations?
Sure. So basically, just starting from the beginning, we're recommending that ONC establish a streamlined process with the SDOs to ensure ISO references the most recent versions of standards and associated IGs and profiles. So this was part of our discussion to make sure there's a really solid connection with the work happening in the various SDOs. So that things are updated in real time and there's not a lag between what's in the ISA and what we have happening in the standards world, with a special attention to the accelerator projects. So that second light item on the recommendations is that ONC prioritize, so when coordinating with the SDOs, prioritize coordination with accelerators and similar type acceleration projects to streamline the process to submit updates to ISA that can be immediately incorporated, creating a more current and timely representation of what's available and what is critical to be aware of. And then I think the next one kind of merged I'll stop there. The next line, looking at the spreadsheet, was just a little separate. Okay, perfect, thanks. We recommend that ONC add all the data classes and data elements in US CDI to the ISO. We recommend that ONC create a workflow to incorporate the US CDI submissions into ISA. So I think those seem similar, but they're different. So you have the existing data classes and data elements that are already in ISA, in USCDI that may not be listed in the ISA. We should do a cross-reference to that. And then there are a lot of different data elements that are being submitted to USCDI that do not currently exist in ISA. Steven, I see you have your hand up.
Oh, I was just getting in line. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Okay, cool. So basically just making sure that anything that is being submitted, I mean, we're seeing a lot of interest from industry and communities of interest in submitting to USCDI, but those standards may not necessarily be in the ISA today. And may never be considered for USCDI because they are not going to be, or may not be targeted today because they are not going to be used for more broad and global standards. So it's really important to have a place to capture high priority data standards for different communities of interest that may be high impact, but may not be in USCDI. So just having that really clear pipeline into ISA, I think is really important. And I started to put some of that into the observations as well. The next recommendation would be that ONC include in the ISA, the US CDI version, a standard is NAP2 where relevant, where a standard implementation guide or similar is required by a federal program. We recommend that ONC list specific certification criteria and or relevant federal programs for which the ISA items item is named and or required. And I believe the others were old. So those were the combinations. Although this piece from Hans is new, I think just appeared in the Google Doc, but I'll stop there.
Wonderful. So I did have the first hand up, so I'll take the liberty. And I put my question in the chat. You mentioned your recommendations 3 and 4, specifically 3, that ONC add all data classes elements in the US CDI to the ISA, which is to say specify in the ISA the relevant standards that go with every item in US CDI. And I wonder if we might say that that requirement would be as an item is added to level 2, you know, once it is felt to be ready for exchange or for inclusion in a future version of US CDI, certainly at that point, it should be reflected in the ISA. It might be reasonable, you know, if they can to add it to every, you know, all the items in level 1 and at the comment level. But as we know, we really invite things to come in, especially at the comment level, that may not have a lot of standards evolved. So they may not actually be ready for the ISA, but you would certainly think that anything that made it up to level 2 should be fully reflected in the ISA. What do you think about that, Christina?
My concern there is that US CDI evaluation process is for national exchange. And so something may not be evaluated at a level 2 because of the requirement that we're looking for US CDI to be the base, like the required for everybody, but it could be really, really important to a subset of stakeholders. And that's why I took out that level 2 and above. I think as a first step, putting level 2 and up would be great, but I do think there's a need to have more than just the US CDI leveling.
So I guess I just wonder, though, if there is some softening of the language that would give ONC some room to say that, you know, there are some things that have been submitted to US CDI that just there just aren't standards around, you know, and we want those, we want to mature those, we want to list those perhaps at the comment level, but they're, we can't put them in ISA because there's nothing to say about them unless you would just sort of put them in there and say, you know, and there's no standards.
No, I hear you. What we could do is recommend that anything that would not necessarily be considered for placement in US CDI, but has really important and valuable information in it, make a recommendation to ONC to reach out to those stakeholders and recommend that they submit to the ISA as opposed to US CDI.
Hans, I see your hand is up, and also that you added a recommendation to Christina's here. So you want to speak to that?
Yes, that's from our early discussion in the chat that I created that, and perhaps this is the right place that it should be inserted rather than a separate line, because it's about ISA optimization to include the source. So if that makes sense, then we can lift it up to below the list.
You okay with that, Christina?
That makes sense to me.
I'll remove the other separate
one. I got it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We also want to change SDOs to SDOs and similar bodies or SDOs and profiling organizations in the first bullet per David's edit.
And if we're just working from this one, we can probably remove my other comment in here.
The one at the bottom?
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that. Yeah, I like the idea of sort of cleaning these up as we go and then turning them purple. So just to be clear, Christina, you're saying we can now remove item 19. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, we'll do that. This is why they're numbered. And you said you feel like we can remove items 28 and 29. Those have been included.
I would ask that Hans and Arian.
Hans and Arian.
I'm comfortable with that.
But this Arian, 29.
Apologies, had a family need to take care of. So, sorry.
That's okay. The question was just whether what you had drafted in item 29, you feel has been comfortably included in Christina's recommendation.
Yeah, if we can go down to 29.
29 and
Stephen, my suggestion, this is Steve Egger, administrative suggestion, rather than deleting, why don't you just mark them like all black or something, or move them down below or somewhere so we're not losing them completely?
That's fine.
Friendly suggestion.
We had a color coding that we used for the USCDI that I forget, but to mark things is already covered.
We'll figure that out, but that's fine. Yeah, I'm just so into deleting things and cleaning them up, but that's just me. All right.
Standard Marie Kondo.
All right, so back to item 20 here. Anybody have anything to add with regard to the now large number of recommendations that we've incorporated here?
Yeah, so 29 and 30 are already addressed. So my language for 30 is consistent with Mark's language for use case.
Wonderful. Okay, I will.
I made a small suggestion on 30, which is in the other one, is to, instead of use cases, use maybe, since the term view is used frequently, use case view perhaps as the perspective, because it's pulling things together from other areas.
And I'm sorry, where is that going to go now, Hans?
Wherever, I think that was Mark's number.
It was up in Mark's.
Wherever that number was. No, it was number 6, row 6.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To use the term use case view or use, yeah, views.
Mark, are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody object? Use case views captured. All right. So back to Christina's number 20. Any further comments on that? Or are we ready to turn that one purple? No hands up. David, you have a comment. Okay, nothing new there. All right. Going once, going twice, we are going to finalize this one and move on. Let's see, we are at 8:30. Oh, good, we've got time to do a little bit more. Now, Christina, number 18, is it now independent or has that also been subsumed into 20?
I don't think it's independent. I think it's kind of part of 20. I wanted to just look at it one more time and make sure we captured like any type of recommendations to link ISA and USCDI well. So I can take a look at it. And
that's fine. We can come back to that. All right. I will admit that I had homework to focus in on the lab recommendations. Clem, you've done a tremendous amount of work digging into the lab recommendations and adding more detail there. But I don't think that we're ready to bring those back yet today.
Stephen, you and I did a pass at the lab recommendations, so there is new content there. But
do you want to walk us through some of that, Arianne?
Maybe to your point, we can do another pass this week and then bring back a proposed.
That was my thought. We still needed to work through Clem's comments. All right, Grace, your hands up.
Yes, there's an item that I had added in on under 18 under Christina's that has not been addressed, and I just want to see if it was appropriate to touch on that.
Yes, I saw that. Christina, do you see that?
Yes, I have not gotten to incorporate some of those. I can take a look at some of the ones that have not been X'd off.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Again, we don't want to rush anybody's work. I think we'll leave 18 as a to-do for next week and come back to that. All right. If there's no objection, I wouldn't mind walking us through the one that I've worked on, and that is the ECR item, which is at number 11. And let me tidy this up so we can get it into a single screen if possible. Might be hard. I think the observations at this point are less relevant than the recommendations and policy levers. Okay, so here we are. So I worked on these and Arianne and I cycled back through email and discussion with the presenters on the ECR topic from last week and tried to winnow these down into a crisp set of recommendations and related policy levers. So I can just walk through these quickly. The first one is that ONC includes specific references to the latest CDA-based ECR standards as well as the fire-based ECR standards, and we point out specifically what those are. The next one is that ISA separately identify the three different transactions specified in the fire ECRIG, that is the ESRD, the fire EICR and the fire reportability response. The third was that ISA include a separate public health reporting section, which is distinct from ECR, to hold references to reporting that are different than ECR. Today, they're all kind of lumped together under ECR, so it's a little confusing. And the final recommendation was that ONC coordinate with federal partners and listed a number of them and stakeholders to accelerate the maturity and adoption of standardized ECR. And then on the policy lever side, we've identified a number of federal partners within HHS who would have a stake in this at CMS, CDC, and CLIA. So a lot of thought went into trying to winnow these down. Hans, your hand is up.
Yeah, just a clarification question. Overall, I completely agree with the recommendations. On the third one, clarification on exactly what you're trying to separate out, since there is a public health reporting section already in the ISA. So the question is, what would be different from it, or what needs to be done to organize that better? So that's the one that I'm looking at to see whether we need to be more specific than what you're suggesting.
Well, maybe it's just a matter of moving some things. And again, I always have a hard time finding my way through the various dropdowns, but there were some additional standards around public health reporting that were kind of tagged on to the ECR section, as I recall. And the idea was to get them out of there.
It's a little confusing. There is a public health reporting top level use case, and then there's a case reporting to public health agencies use case, and that's where you find the CDA specs and the fire specs for ECR. So I think this is already, I'm with Hans, I think this is already addressed, so that public health reporting lists adverse event reporting, adverse death record reporting, cancer case reporting, transmission, ELR transmission under it. So I think that already addresses the comment.
Okay, so you're saying we don't need the third one here.
I think to Hans's point, it's already done. Yeah. Public health reporting is already a thing.
The clarification might be that on the case reporting, rows 3 and 4 don't sound like they are case reporting. So perhaps there's some clarification that will be helpful. One of them is quality research and public health technical framework. How does it apply to case reporting? That might not be clear. So maybe there's a need for some additional clarification there.
This is a question where you got to be careful about what section of what right. page of the ISA you're looking at, because I'm looking at a case reporting to public health agencies that includes the ECR CDA spec, the ECR reportability response spec, the RFD, which I think RFD is listed under ECR because there is a sort of a reflex public health section that references RFD. And then same thing for structured data capture is, I think those two are duplicatively listed under case reporting because the case reporting spec includes reference to kind of this reflex addition of additional capture of data relevant for case reporting.
And it might be helpful just to validate that separately, because then should it really be in there, or do the main specs already reference them and that's sufficient by reference?
It says if you look in limitations, dependencies, and preconditions, retrieve form for data capture and structured data capture are paired together in pilot implementation to build a complete workflow. And so this is an area where those specs are probably duplicatively listed in other places. In the ISA, and that might be okay.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like we need my third recommendation at all. That this was by design at this point.
Yep.
Okay, good. So I'll just get rid of that one. So the remaining three and the policy levers. Anyone have any further ideas? Steve, Ike, your hands up.
Yes, thank you. Looking at the coordination component, there probably needs to be greater attachment to local territorial public health, not just state or local partners. There also are additional national organizations beyond APHL that are involved. Councils of State Territorial Epidemiologists, for example, ASTO.
Yeah.
We may want to be a little more generic.
Ike, at some point, that state, local, territorial partners is intended to encompass both the state, territorial, and local entities, as well as ASTO, as well as and as you're aware, the list of partners to coordinate with gets deep, so. Anyways, it's fine to include.
I was not suggesting they'll be longer listed. I noticed that APHL was specifically called out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So maybe what we want to say is, e.g.
I got it.
States. Well, I think. So as partners includes the actual states, localities, and territories, and. So I think we want to be clear that includes right. the actual government agencies.
Right. And my focus there was on the public health side, not just state and local partners. Yep. Writ large, not calling any specific entity.
We can wordsmith this after the fact.
Thank you.
How about that? Do you like that one?
Maybe
it breaks the comma. I'll take an editing pass.
Okay. I just want to be able to get it to purple. That's all. Hans?
Perhaps you want to put the word "and" before state/local because they're not federal.
It's a semicolon. It's a semicolon problem. This is my text. It's mine. I will commit to.
This is Arian's specialty.
Okay, I'm looking forward to the semicolon.
All right. Any other questions on the ECR recommendations? The policy levers, does anybody have anything to add or comment there? Some of this was news to me. I didn't quite understand, you know, all the different folks and opportunities for ONC to collaborate with other HHS partners to get this done. So it was nice to see that there are a lot of opportunities there. All right, Carmela, you have a comment in the chat. Did you want to say anything about that?
No, I was just pointing out the different sections related to public health. That's all.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Semicolons inserted.
All right. We like semicolons. Hans, your hand is still up.
Did we already get to purple or is it?
No, we're not there yet.
Okay.
Arian, since you're in there, take my name out of the top. I will cede ownership to the larger work group. Did you have another comment, Hans? Your hand's still up.
Oh, sorry. I should have raised that a little bit.
Okay, great. So anybody have anything else to add to this one, or can we consider it pushed over the line? Hearing none, let's do that. Aaron, you want to do the color while you're there? And that brings us to 8:41. Let's see, let's go back to our agenda and see that does give us time to do another one perhaps. Let's see, Mark, not a lot of time. Do you feel like you could tackle your item number one, which is a high priority for us regarding care plans and chronic disease management?
Yes.
All right. Go right ahead. Yeah, great, item one.
So Grace and Abby worked with me on this. And in summary, we're focused on dynamic longitudinal care plans, which is a way of pulling together the episodic plans of care or plans of treatment into a more holistic, comprehensive view of things across time, across condition, across care team member. There's been a lot of consideration of the importance of that. I've put some examples in the observation column. The most recent one that I'm thinking about is CMMI's strategy refresh about the importance of having longitudinal care plans for accountable care. I put all the links in there if folks may have already clicked through just to see that. I've done some work with the Fire at Scale Task Force. I'm on the monitoring board for NIH's and AHRQ's eCare plan for multiple chronic conditions. So a lot of good work. And a recommendation here is sort of along the lines of use cases or use case views, to pull what we do have together under a use case. I'd recommend that ONC do that to list dynamic longitudinal shared care plans as a use case or as a view within ISA, and to link to the existing relevant terminology exchange and administrative standards that are already there. But there's a lot in play as well. So the second recommendation is that ONC also work with stakeholders such as CMS, AHRQ, and NIH FAST to identify the gaps and work with those stakeholders and subject matter experts on thinking through how to fill those gaps, and then to come back to the work group in January. The reason for structuring this recommendation this way is because there is a lot of good work happening, but I think there is room for improvement. So it seems better to use the time to do some thinking and come back to the work group in January. So it's a fairly short, succinct recommendation, but it gets the ball on an important use case rolling. Before turning to questions, let me check with Grace or Abby to see if they have anything that I've missed.
I think you've done a great job summarizing everything we've talked about.
Okay, hands
Stephen,
up
you're in. Back to you.
From David.
This is a really nice summary of a lot of good work, some of which I'm not very familiar with. So take my comments as from the naive side of the equation. But my only concern, and I don't think it's going to lead to any suggested changes, but you can overdo a care plan and create something that is very difficult to implement. And as much to me, the challenge is coordination in a dynamic fashion as it is a static, precise care plan. And the experience of trying to build precise, computable care plans in a hospital setting where you have control over all the resources was overwhelmingly too difficult for anybody to figure out how to do. So extending that to the community, if you're not careful, could create similar kinds of failure modes. So I would, as long as your idea here includes the notion of coordinating the care in a dynamic fashion, so it updates literally, you know, day to day, then I'm very comfortable with this. I don't know if Mark that made if that made any sense, Mark, but
it does. And actually, I think there's been some more thinking done in that regard than there has about what the content and structure of the care plan might be. So if you see the last bullet under observation, the reference to the FAST ecosystem use case, Tiger Team's work on the shared care planning use case, that is just about exchange and updating. And you might find that interesting to take a look at. But totally agree. That's an approach to update automatically, and actually it uses a subscription approach for options so that different care team members can decide whether they want to just get a notice that there's an update, whether they actually want to get the update, tries to provide some options there.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've mentioned this before, I think, but when I was still working back at Cerner, we did a prototype of a simple, what we called a care wiki, where, you know, individual members could just log into a shared wiki page and update and select to be notified. And the world wasn't ready for such a thing at that time, but I think it could be now.
Yes, agreed.
Hans?
Thank you. I'm trying to understand a little bit better. There's currently a care plan section in the ISA. And from the first recommendation, it is not fully clear to me whether this would, in light of the discussion we had around prioritization, that this is more a prioritization of things that are all in there, and we should then copy and align with those recommendations. Or if there is a use case view that is providing a context across a number of different sections. And in that case, can we already be more specific in what we're trying to put forward in the RSA to make it more clear what the intent, what the difference is between the use case view versus the care plan section that's currently in there?
Hans, I think big picture, most of what's in the ISA is about the episodic plan of care or plan of treatment. The term care plan gets used interchangeably for both. There is a reference in one to under care plan to sharing patient care plans for multiple clinical contexts. So there is some work there, but I think most of what you see is on around the episodic side. And this is lifting up the importance of having something that's dynamic and longitudinal. And so operationally, what you see already in ISA might get linked to this use case view, but there would be other things pulled together as well.
Perhaps then the suggestion would be as to if there is a need to distinguish a care plan between episodic and dynamic as two separate sections, we need to be clear about that suggestion. if it is that care plan has two aspects to it, then that's not coming out as clear, and there's more needed on the cross episodic dynamic cross settings, we should clarify that. But then as we're adding standards to that, are we indeed just adding it there, or are there other areas that you're trying to pull together into a view? That picture is not totally clear from the recommendation where you're heading with that. So I'd ask to make that more specific in that regard, because right now as a typical reader of ISA, I would not be sure where to go.
Well, Stephen actually just pointed out where to go, which I think proves the point.
Yeah, Stephen and Arian, if that need is apparent to you, then there's language at the very beginning of the observation section that flags the difference, and that could be cut and pasted over into the recommendation column. But it seems more appropriate to me to be an observation.
Sorry, and I posted a comment that, you know, I wonder whether the cross-cutting need, because we actually do have a section that covers, as Stephen points out, that covers care plans that encompass multiple clinical encounters in multiple clinical contexts, whether the cross-cutting concern is really around coordination of care, which includes bidirectional referrals, as well as multiple settings of care, plans of care. As well as other needs. And so, that need for coordination of care might be the subsuming cross-cutting concern, or the subsuming view.
I would say that I think for the people who are working on this in this area, it's a little broader than coordination, because there's also the connection with patients' goals, which may be short-term and long-term. What's the plan to get to those goals? Which may be articulated as a patient would articulate them, or articulated as a clinician would articulate them. So I think a little broader than coordination.
I do like the suggestion that Arian is making of care coordination, not to be specific to only referrals, but includes that care plan component to have that total picture. And I would agree with Marcus that if that can be described in a way that it is from goal to plan to referral to these other components around it, that can help create a more holistic use case view, care coordination wider defined, and then as the specific sections in the ISA of referrals and care plan, among others, that are contributing to that care coordination view.
That sounds like a really good recommendation. Mark, would you feel comfortable sort of taking this back to the workshop and recrafting it in that format? That it's really going to be recommending a use case view around care coordination that links specifically to other sections, including care plan, and then within that articulating the needs for this more general care plan that you and many others have been working hard on.
Will do.
Okay, so we are going to hold number one to come back to next time. Grace, I know that you did a lot of work on your item. Let's see, which one is it? 12, that we did not get to today. Some of that work also, I think we've already covered in the ISA structural recommendations that Christina walked us through. Just scroll down one more, down to 12, if you can, Denise. So what I'd like to do, Grace, is put this one on up for early consideration next time when we come back. And hopefully, Arian and I will have a chance to work through a number of the lab recs and bring those back next time as well. How does that sound?
That's great.
All right. And again, I really want to thank the work group members who've been working very hard on pulling these things together, as well as everybody else who's coming with such great commentary. So why don't we cut to public comment? I have encouraged public attendees to raise their hands if they have something they'd like to say. I don't see any hands up yet, so we'll give you all the instructions from the Excel team here.
All right, everyone, we're gonna open up our call for public comments, and of course, written comments are always accepted at any time. So if you happen to be on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So we'll pause for public comments. Not seeing any hands raised currently, Stephen and Arian, so I'll turn it back to you.
Great. Well, we are not going to try to cover additional material during our last 5 minutes here. I think we've made great progress, truly, and I really, again, will thank everyone for that. We will continue to follow the methodology of trying to identify first items that are both a high priority for the work group and a high priority for ONC, as much as those overlap. We've got some more work to be done. Christina's going to be coming back with number 18 next time to see if we have anything to flesh out there. I think we have a good plan for next week to keep on moving. If we go, I still don't see any hands up. So if you want to go to the next slide in the deck here.
Yeah, just a reminder to the work group members to keep up the good work of going through the spreadsheet. If you see anything that we've already addressed or is duplicative, please go ahead and tag that. And then if you have text, again, just a reminder to use the magic words, we recommend that ONC, and then see if your recommendation makes sense in that context. And if it doesn't, start thinking about what you're recommending ONC do to achieve the outcome that you're looking for.
I'll also, once again, put in a plug if anybody has a chance to go to the prioritization spreadsheet. There are a number of items that are in our topics worksheet that really no one's crafted any recommendations around. I'm thinking about specifically number 2, number 3, number 4, some of the leftovers from prior ISPTF that David and Arian co-chaired. I don't know if you guys want to go back and look at those to see if there's something we should be pulling out to focus on there. I put in item number 10 on public health data system certification. I haven't done any further work on that. Ike, I don't know if you want to maybe take a look at that and see if there's something we should try to bring forward there. It was not prioritized either by us or ONC highly, so that we may end up dropping that one by the wayside. And then David McCauley, don't have prioritization on your various items around linking with the accelerators, but I think even so, those are good recommendations. I don't know if you perhaps want to, you had multiple topics that you put in for various accelerators. Perhaps if you want to look at winnowing down that into one or two recommendations that are specific, that are sort of more general to linking to accelerator work more generally, that might be helpful.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like we kind of covered that in the one we approved earlier about linking to SDOs. So I'm not sure that needs to, you know, to reiterate the specific accelerators. It's really subsumed by the broader point. There are a couple of other specific use cases that are not, and I'll go back and look at those again and see if they need to still be there. But linking to those HL7 and accelerators, I think we've kind of covered that.
Okay.
Is that on row 13, I made a suggestion to do
more. Item 13 or row 13?
Item 13.
Okay, good.
I did make a recommendation to pull them all together and reference them in total. I'm wondering whether it still would be helpful to be separate from the other comments, to be very specific about it. Not necessarily list them individually, but by referencing them as fire accelerators. So something to look at, whether that works.
David, how do you feel about that?
That sounds good. If Hans wants to offer a friendly amendment, I'm sure I would be comfortable with it. So take a whack at it, Hans.
He's got it. He's got it down at the bottom of 13. And maybe you guys can just touch base on that. and okay. see if what Hans recommended is good enough.
All right. I don't have the screen up for that. So
yeah, that's fine. And we don't have any more time. So just a reminder, we've got really two more meetings to finalize our recommendations. And then we will be into reviewing the draft report that we will put together, followed by the presentation slides. But again, encourage everyone to engage with the spreadsheets, provide your input, tag it with your name. I think you get the routine as to how this is all going to move forward. Christina, last word.
I was just going to say that I can add the item 13 with the accelerators and incorporate it into the recommendation that I'm working on.
Marvelous. Good. Collaboration. We love it. All right. Everyone have a wonderful day and week. And thank you for your time and attention. We will see you back next time.
Thanks so much. Bye.